So happy it's Thursday. Welcome to ESPN 1700 AM Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. In studio with us today, Sean Manott. Boy, I've messed that name up a couple times already today. Sean Manott, he is a financial planner with Edward Jones. Sean, welcome.
Thank you. And you messed it up again. It's Manat.
Thank you. Manat. It's going
to
keep
happening. Importantly, we're here to talk about the reasons to be optimistic in today's economy.
Seven reasons to be optimistic. Sean Manat will go through all of
That's
them
right.
with us. Additionally, oh boy, Chris, say the last name.
McKergy.
Chris McKergy.
Oh, you nailed it. There you go. That was a good one.
Estate planning attorney. His website, KMSDLawOffice.com. One more time, KMSDLawOffice.com. Estate planning attorney is going to talk to us about, well, breaking it down, simply put, what is a trust? And he's got some pretty concrete examples that will really, really drill home the expense of sending a property to probate. Really expensive.
Absolutely.
Certainly understand how that works out, and so that will be ahead of us. Well, starting off first, Sean, Edward Jones. How's Edward Jones?
It's a great company to work for. I enjoy it. Enjoy going to work every day.
So you've got seven reasons, and I would imagine there's more than seven.
I sure there is.
But as far as we have today, seven reasons for optimism in the marketplace.
That's right.
Right? And I would imagine there are reasons to be pessimistic, too.
Sure, and that's kind of the reason why we wanted to come with positive reasons. The okay. pessimistic reasons are always easy to find.
Okay. Are these in order of importance or alphabetical order? How do we know? How do we pick up the most important one?
You know, I don't think there is an order of importance. I think it's pretty much all of them are equal weighted, but just each of them have their own points for being in there.
Okay. Okay. Good enough. Well, let's talk about number one, all-time highs. Everybody likes that.
Hey, that's right. Now, oftentimes people think, oh, the stocks are all-time high. I don't want to be putting money in. It's already up there too much. But historically, it's actually the opposite. When you see all-time highs, since 1954, stocks have reached a new record peak. They've continued to rise an average of 40% over the next 21 months. So that's a positive reason.
Well, I hate to be devil's advocate here, but I tell you, when I see that stocks are at an all-time high, I'm thinking what goes up must come down.
And there is some truth to that. It's not going to go up forever. However, if you look at history and you're looking at the facts that are out there, if there has been a rise, if continued rise, an average of 40%, I'd take that over the next 21 months. I'd much rather be on that end than the other end.
Well, 40% rise?
Yes.
I'll
from
take
now.
That too.
Yeah, I think everybody would.
Right.
There are some, I guess, words of wisdom out there as to suggest that past historic gains in the market do not necessarily predict future gains. What's there to say about that?
And that's absolutely true. And we would expect volatility along the way. I don't think you're going to sit there and just, you know, ride it off to freedom and everyone's going to be happy. I'm sure there's going to be bumps along the road. We have the, you know, we have the monetary easing policy that could come. We have a lot of headwind out there. But we do say over the course of time, we would expect the market to rise.
Got
so
it.
I think when I see this, stocks are near an all-time high. I think what you're really saying is that people are confident, the economy is doing pretty well, a lot of good things are happening, and their stock markets are possibly a reflection of that.
And that's right, and that's what some of these other points are going to actually, I guess, lay out for us here, is that the market is moving with momentum. You don't want to necessarily fight momentum, and the Fed has been helping it as well, and we really don't want to fight Fed.
Right, they have nuclear weapons,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
And they have the IRS, right?
There we go.
We don't want to fight them.
We don't
want right?
to fight
no.
Fed. Yeah, we well, don't want to fight, don't wanna fight Fed. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to financial planner with Edward Jones, Sean Manott.
Sean Manott.
With Edward Jones. His number here is 619-497-0019, 619-497-0019. I guess I keep doing that because it rhymes with Sean.
I guess that's
got to be a common. You seem very sensitive to it. So
no,
must,
I'm not sensitive
at all. I must not be the first one to have done it.
I got to be able to get a dig at you somewhere, though. So.
Sean Manott.
That's right.
There we go. Sean Manott. Okay. Okay, so number one, stocks are near an all-time high. That is encouraging news for future growth. And is that a good reason to be jumping in?
Absolutely. You know, and that's a common question. New money comes and people say, you know, should we put this on the sideline? Sideline doesn't earn anything. That's a safe way to lose money is what I call that. So you're absolutely better off putting money in, going with the momentum. And I think, as we said before, and just to, I guess, beat it to death, if you want to call it that, they continue to rise 40% over the next 20 months. That's the average of what has happened. So I would say get in on that.
Get in on that. Got it. Attractively valued stocks. And this seems a little bit counterintuitive with the fact that they just went up 40%.
And keep in mind the reason – well, they're expected to go up 40%. They've actually been up over 40%. But we had a huge recession, the Great Recession, as it was called, happened in 2008, 2009. We're all aware.
They're calling it the Great Recession now?
That's right. We're
really?
All well aware of that, yes. And
first I've heard of it.
We suffered through it.
We were on the cutting edge of that, right?
That's right. The Great Recession. There we go.
I used to be 7 foot two.
And
I'm
So and you guys are seeing that in the real estate. Right now, I would see you're seeing the growth.
I wasn't affected. Ryan, on the other hand,
we see the growth for sure coming out of that. Things are certainly looking up. There's been a slight slowdown in the real estate world with the bump in interest rates. Football starting up always causes a problem. Daylight savings time is certainly going to slow things down as well.
Right.
But and kids back to school, that's also going to slow the real estate market a little bit. But none of those factors really play into the stock market.
Yes and no.
Okay.
There's consumer sentiment that plays into that.
Big time.
So as you see the rising interest rates, people now think, oh, I shouldn't get in, and then they start to hold their money. So there is some of that that does play in. However, getting out of summer usually helps the stock market. People tend to be on vacation. They're not as concerned with investing. You know, a lot of us have heard of go away in May, come back now, fall. So we'll see where that goes. But, you know, you had mentioned earlier that stocks appear attractively valued, and they do. And even though they have been a rise, the P.E. ratio is at about 14, which is below its average of 15 since 1980. So there is some value out there.
So why don't you explain what a P.E. ratio is?
Price to 12 months forward earnings is basically what that is. So they're looking at the price of it based off its 12 months forward earnings, and they come out with a ratio. Mm-hmm. And the average has been 15. If you're below that, that would mean that it's cheaper. If you're above that, it could mean expensive.
Got it.
Now, that's not as cheap as it has been. You know, we were down to 11. It's risen since then, but we still feel there's room for growth.
I see. So it's a way of measuring the value of a company.
That's right.
Got it.
Sure. If the P.E. ratio is too high, it may be that the stock is overpriced. Is that right?
Yeah. And especially in value stocks, that's a common theme that they say, you know, maybe this thing has had a little bit of a run. It might be looking for a pullback, and you may want to look somewhere else for stocks. But the average of stocks, we're saying, is below right now.
And so when you're looking at a stock and mm-hmm. you're reading the name of it, say it's – well, I don't necessarily want to say a name, but let's say we're reading a stock and it says P/E, and
that's
a ratio. That this is what you're talking about. So if it's over 15, it's above and beyond the average of what it should be based on its 12 months earnings.
Now, what we're talking about there is the S&P index. Okay, so individual stocks are going to have – there's going to be a wide variety of individual. If we're looking at the S&P index, we're saying the average of the index has been 15. We're at 14 now. So if you look at the index as a whole, there's some value out there.
This is slightly underpriced.
That's right.
This is slightly underpriced.
Great way to put
it. And that's where we're talking about attractively valued.
Yep.
And the P.E. ratio is, well, lower.
That's right.
Good enough. Certainly does make sense. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Sean Minot.
Nailed it.
About time, right?
Got it right.
All right.
Sean Minot here, financial planner Edward Jones. His number here is 619-497-0019, 619-497-0019. We're going over the seven reasons for optimism here in, I guess it's the second half of 2013 going into 2014. I mean, it's wow, it's almost 2014, isn't it?
Time is flying.
Well, I got a question for Sean, and that is that, you know, here we are, we're talking about optimism in the economy right now. What makes you an expert in this? How long have you been doing this?
That's a good question. I've been doing this for about 6 years, located down just on the hill from USD with Edward Jones. And really what I'd say helps out myself is relying on a team. We have a team of analysts that I can rely on. I have other colleagues that we rely on. So it's not just my own information. You know, I'm not a one-man shop in the sense that I only listen to myself. I am a one-man shop as in it's my office. I have an assistant. The door's open. People come in. We have a good relationship with our clients. But there's a team that we use with Edward Jones Home Office, and that's where we get a lot of our information.
Okay, so money never sleeps, but you do. But while you're sleeping, there's people researching the market for you. That way you can relay this to your potential clients or advise your current clients.
That's exactly what happens. So a client might call in, have an interest in a stock that maybe I don't have a beat on at that moment. I can get on the phone, send out an email, talk to the analyst directly that follows that, get a report back, analyze that, and then relay that information to the client.
Sounds like a very hands-on approach.
Yes, that's exactly what we are. We are known for hands-on.
Known for hands-on. When we come back, we're going to figure out what exactly a trust is. And you may think you know already, but we're going to really get into deeply what a trust is and also the financial implications of not having it set up right such that your property goes to probate. They are substantial. You got half a page worth of financial implications. When we come back, we'll have Chris McCurgy, his estate planning attorney.
That's right.
go through all that ahead of us when we come back.
Hey, Mike Golic here, reminding you if it's game day and you're not manning a grill of sizzling meat, spatula in one hand, a cold drink in the other, you're doing it all wrong. Visit grilling.com/ESPN in Kingsford. We'll show you game day done right. You could even be named Kingsford's Tailgater of the Year, get 4 tickets to any game during championship week, and win a life-size statue of yourself. That's Kingsford Charcoal, keeper of the hashtag tailgate rules and the official smell of football season.
Hey, Golic, we're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was enjoying one of these new Marie Callender's sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches.
Where'd you get them?
And this cheddar biscuit.
So there was just one?
So warm and flaky.
You ate mine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, Marie is giving away 1 million sandwiches for free. Just look for a coupon and select Marie Callender's dinners.
No purchase necessary. Offer ends January 7th, 2014. See official rules to win at MarieCallendersMeals.com/1 million. Sponsored by Conagra Foods.
Hi, Credit Repair Mike here. I'm very happy to be the only credit repair company recommended by Mr. Credit, and I hope the information I've brought to the show has helped you in some way. Right now, our company is growing so rapidly that we are looking to hire more sales agents immediately. So if you know someone who is out of work and wants to make some extra money, we have both full-time and part-time positions available. Our credit repair program is only $4.99 per person. Yes, $4.99 per person, no matter what. And we have a money-back guarantee. The program sells itself. That's why Mr. Credit recommends us. Because you can't get full-service credit repair this cheap from anywhere else. Call me, Credit Repair Mike, at 1-800-525-1349 to find out more. That's 1-800-525-1349. Or go to creditrepairmike.com, creditrepairmike.com. That's creditrepairmike.com.
If your service is 5 stars, your escrow partner should be too. 5-Star Escrow, getting your transactions closed and getting you paid. 5starescrow.com, 5starescrow.com. January 1st, health insurance is changing for all of us. So how is your insurance going to change? Will you be forced to buy a new policy or change your existing one? What are your options? Craig Gusson with Auerbach & Gusson is a certified health reform specialist who can help answer these questions today at no cost to you. Just call 858-546-4101. That's 858-546-4101 to learn everything you need to know about health reform. 858-546-4101.
Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN, 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. If you're just tuning in, we heard from Sean Manat, financial planner with Edward Jones, talking about the 7 reasons for optimism in the, well, I guess the second half of this year and coming 2014. His number directly is 619-497-0019, 619-497-0019. As promised, Chris McCurgy, estate planning attorney, his website, kmsdlawoffice.com, kmsdlawoffice.com, is going to tell us everything you wanted to know, and perhaps something you didn't, about what a trust is.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, one of the first questions I get when people talk to me is, what exactly is a trust? Most people assume that a trust is something that the wealthy should have. In fact, a trust, if you have assets over $150,000, you need to have a trust. If you're married and have children, you need to have a trust. A trust, put simply, is what I would call a separate entity or a document, which in turn creates, quote unquote, a trust into which you transfer all your assets, your bank accounts, your property, and you as a trustee would manage these assets within that trust. Now, on the day you pass away, there's what we call a successor trustee who you've elected through the trust document that takes over the trust and handles those assets based on your wishes and passes it on to your beneficiaries that you've chosen. And the best analogy that I can possibly use is think about it like a business that you've created. You put that business into a corporation, and you manage that business. And essentially, that's exactly what you're doing as a trustee. You're managing your trust. And in case something were to happen to you, you select another manager. If something were to happen, you take over that business. And that's exactly what you're doing in a trust. You're creating it. You're electing a successor trustee to watch over your assets, to manage your assets once you pass away, to ensure that your beneficiaries are taken care of and that your assets are passed down.
We're talking to Chris McCurgy, estate planning attorney. His website, kmsdlawoffice.com. One more time, kmsdlawoffice.com. Now, you had mentioned $150,000 and $250,000?
$150,000.
Why are those numbers significant?
Well, they're significant because if you have assets over $150,000, like, you know, let's say, you know, if you die and you have a house that you own free and clear that's worth $250,000, and if you don't have a trust in place, and you have a few bank accounts with another few, you know, $20,000 or whatever else it might be, once you pass away, in order for those assets to go to your beneficiaries, your children or, you know, maybe your aunt, your uncle, who you wanted them to go to at that point, it has to go through what's known as the probate process, the probate court.
If it's over $150,000.
It's over $150,000.
So that's why that's important, is because if you don't have an overall value of $150,000, you're not going to go to probate. Probate apparently is not a,
exactly.
Not a problem.
I mean, but if you think about it, in California, if you own a property –
and you don't want to San Diego.
Exactly.
If you own it free and clear and it's not
exactly.
over $150,000.
I mean, and if you're looking at someone's bank accounts, it's you know, if you have few kids, you're, you know, in your late 50s, chances are you probably are able to add up to assets over $150,000.
Well, that's the distinction I was hoping to make, is simply if you have assets that total over $150,000, apparently you would be subject to probate, wherein which everybody who has assets over $150,000 needs a trust.
Absolutely. And trust is beneficial for a lot more reasons than that. But the number one reason that I always talk about is the probate process, to avoid the probate process. Because the probate process, besides from being a very lengthy process that could take months to maybe in years, depending on the size of your assets, it's also an expensive process. In California, the probate code sets up a fee structure of what's known as the 4-3-2-1 fee structure, where for the first $100,000 of the assets that are going through the probate are – there's a fee structure of 4%. So 4% of those first $100,000 goes out as fees to an attorney fees. Now, those same fees could also go out to an administrator of an estate. Anything above that for the next $100,000 goes at 3%. Anything above that for the next $800,000 goes up to 3%, and beyond that, probably about 1%. Now, if you think about it in the sense of some numbers, realistic numbers, if you have a estate worth about $250,000, once that estate, if you don't have a trust in place, goes through the probate process, and by the time it comes out a year later, that you've probably paid out close to about $8,000 in just attorney fees set by the probate courts. So it's not something that you're picking yourself. It's basically fees that are already scheduled to go out. That's $8,000. Now, if you have an administrator in place who's taking fees, and that could be the same $8,000 also. So by the time a $250,000 estate has come out of probate, you've paid out about $16,000. And that's $16,000 less that your beneficiaries would get. And that's a year after your death.
Waited a whole year, too.
A whole year. And, you know, I'm actually working on a small probate right now. It's not very big. It's a little close to about under $200,000, but over $180,000. And by the time the process is complete, it will be about a year almost. 9 months to a year before it's complete. And these beneficiaries that, you know, could have gotten the money at an earlier time, they don't get it. They'll get it much later with, you know, a decent amount of it gone. And so, that could have been avoided through a trust.
So, Chris, you know, as a consumer advocate, you know, I got a lot of questions about what you said, man.
Of course.
I mean, you got that 4-3-2-1 process. What I gathered from that is that, you know, there are set fees by the government with this 4-3-2-1 process. And if you actually have a trust in place, it's going to save you money?
It's going to save you money because you don't have to go through the probate process, provided the trust was created properly. So in order to, when you have a trust created properly, we administer the trust, which takes maybe a few weeks, maybe a month, month and a half. But you don't have to go to the probate court. So you're avoiding the probate fees overall.
So the process could be a lot less time consuming.
Absolutely.
Okay. And, you know, when I see people that have a trust, there's trustees, and it seems as though – or fiduciary for that matter. Because in a lot of cases, you know – if you assign a family member to be the trustee, people fight about it while the loved one's even in the hospital. And, you know, it really puts the trustee in a position where they have to make decisions that may have family ramifications for years. But probate, you know, this could be an enormous mess, because what we're really talking about right now is preventative medicine.
Absolutely.
See, in your position, you're dealing with people about how they're going to structure their family's future, not manage the disaster.
Exactly.
So when there is a situation in a family and there is a trustee, or there's just simply probate, I mean, who's going to make the decisions? Like, who's going to pay the water bill? I mean, it just seems to me that without something in place, we are literally asking the family to fight about it.
And that's generally what happens, because the probate process is actually a very public process. It's not a private matter like having a trust that's being administered. So in a probate process, when you go into the courts are basically – somebody's applying to be an administrator of the trust. And while that's the case, you know, the family might or might not agree with the person the courts are assigning as administrator. But once the administrator is assigned – in order for the probate process to go through, I mean, we're making this matter very public, because you have to go and place an ad in the newspaper inviting creditors to make claims against
the
estate.
You have to place an ad in the newspaper?
You have to place an ad in the newspaper, a local newspaper. Where the
still? Seems kind of archaic. Am I wrong?
It still exists?
It's literally what you have to do. You have to place an ad in the newspaper, a local newspaper, inviting creditors to make a claim on the estate. And, you know, in this process, people know who the beneficiaries are, what they're getting. It's a very public affair, whereas in a trust, it's a private affair. There is no need to put an ad out in the paper. You handle this in a private matter within the family, and that's very important to do that.
If you're just tuning in, we're on the line with Chris McCurgy, estate planning attorney with KMSDLawOffice.com. And, Chris, it sounds to me like you're handling trust on the front end. Like, people call you and say, I need your help. I need to set up a trust, and you set it up. In fact, you talked a little bit offline. You actually review trusts on a regular basis and redo them.
People generally call us, will contact me and ask me to update a trust they created a few years ago. And usually what I'll do is I'll review the documents, and I'll let them know in a situation like that if I feel that there's a need to actually redo the whole trust as opposed to just simply updating a few terms of the trust. A lot of times, you know, I'll find certain issues that were put in when the trust was originally created. It could have been 10 years ago, could be a few years back, that I don't generally feel comfortable working with that. And so what I'll do is I'll revamp the whole trust instead of just simply updating a simple term on it to ensure the fact that the client is properly taken care of and ensure the fact that the trust is done well.
Now, based on some of the things you previously said, it seems to me that you're also in the courts dealing with probate.
That's correct. The probate process is another thing that I handle, and that's one of the reasons why I'm familiar with what goes into a probate.
Okay, so what you're saying is, hey, get your trust, because I'm on the front lines. I'm on the cutting edge of what's happening in probate, because I'm commonly pulled in to deal with that, and it's a lengthy, long process. And so you're shaking your head almost like a doctor would, saying, look, we could have prevented this a long time ago.
Absolutely.
Why does everybody not have a trust?
Most people don't know about it. They don't understand the trust is not simply for the wealthy anymore. Whenever people think about a trust, they automatically assume that you have to have millions of dollars in assets to have a trust. There's a number of benefits to having a trust. You know, a trust can be used to provide for incapacity. You know, what happens in a situation where you are incapacitated, you're unable to handle your assets? Generally, a well-prepared trust document will have advance directives, power of attorneys, documents, HIPAA authorizations to ensure the fact that if something were to happen, you have an individual in place who can manage your financial affairs, make medical decisions on your behalf, follow your medical wishes. And this is really important. A lot of times people don't have these documents in place.
So this would be a loved one that you would choose?
Yeah, it could be a loved one. Could be somebody you trust. Could be a good friend you you want to choose. In my, you know, I'll use myself as an example. You know, for the trust that I have in place, I decided to choose my best friend as a trustee and as the individual who would make the decision about my death, for the simple reason that I know how uncomfortable my wife would be to mm-hmm. pull me off the tubes. Mm-hmm. Right, I know that if the doctor came to my wife and said he's brain dead, do you want to pull him off the tubes? I don't want to have to make the decision. But I've spoken to my best friend. I said, hey, look, if it came down to the point, these are my wishes. I'm assigning you as the person who's going to make this decision, and you'll make the decision.
So yeah, that's deep, man.
And those are the things that you have to think about. These are the things that usually when clients sit in front of me, and there are questions you have to ask. You know, when people pick a trustee, I said, okay, well, why are you picking this trustee? What's the reason you want to have this particular person be a trustee? Let's talk about it. Could there be a better option for a trustee? You know, do you foresee any problems within the family? Let's discuss those issues. You know, how do you want to proceed? You know, a lot of times people come and they have three kids, two kids, four kids, and they want to divide up the money equally. But the questions you have to ask them is, well, one of the kids is 25 years old, done with college, has a full-time job. The other one's 14, hasn't even gone through college. Who needs the money more at this point to put him through college? You know, those are situations that we bring up to clients and we make them think about it to understand how to structure their trust.
We're talking to Chris McCurgy, estate planning attorney. His website, kmsdlawoffice.com. One more time, kmsdlawoffice.com. We defined really, really specifically what a trust was and spoke briefly about the financial savings just with respect to not going to probate in terms of having a trust. When we come back, Sean Manette, financial planner with Edward Jones, is going to continue on through his list of seven reasons for optimism. I believe we're skipping number three. We're going to hit number four ahead of us when we come back.
Attention men, if you're urinating more often or waking at night to urinate, we want to send you a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is our best-selling supplement, made with a natural ingredient that supports healthy urine flow and more complete bladder emptying. It's also been shown to reduce waking at night from the urge to urinate. To find out how to get your free bottle, just call 800-853-7089. Since Beta Prostate debuted, our warehouse has shipped over 2 million bottles. But there are still men who have yet to discover this amazing supplement. That's why for a limited time, you can try a full 30-day supply of Beta Prostate free. You only pay shipping and handling. This free Beta Prostate giveaway is only available while supplies last. And once it's gone, it's gone. Just call 800-853-7089. That's 800-853-7089. Call 800-853-7089.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. Sometimes the media just flat out gets it wrong. That was the case this weekend when some writers criticized Jets coach Rex Ryan for flying to Clemson, South Carolina Saturday to watch his son walk on Seth suit up for his first college football game. A number of those famous anonymous NFL executives were quoted as saying they couldn't believe Ryan had left Jets camp on cutdown day. That's a bunch of hooey. Most cut decisions are made by NFL teams before the last exhibition game. The rest, and most are practice squad decisions, are made on Friday, the day after that game. The announcements may not come until Saturday, but the decisions are made beforehand. Ryan did the absolute right thing as a father and did nothing wrong as a coach. He was exactly where he should have been Saturday. I'm John Feinstein.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number
3030. Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. You're listening to ESPN Radio 1700. Catch me weekdays at 7 a.m. ESPN Radio 1700.
Welcome back. So happy it's Thursday. ESPN, 1700 AM. It's a Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Chris McCurgy, estate planning attorney. His website, KMSDLawOffice.com. That's the website, KMSDLawOffice.com. And after the next break, he's going to talk a little bit more. We did speak about some of the reasons you need trust, but he's got a list of 10 here. We hit some of them, but we're going to come back to that later. As promised, I'm going to get this right, Sean Manat, seven reasons for optimism. We talked about one and two. Number three, kind of boring. Let's talk about number four, high corporate profits continue to rise. Well, if they're high and they're rising, that sounds like a good thing.
That's right. That's a good thing. That's what we want to see.
What is it we're supposed to draw from that?
Well, basically, ever since the Great Recession, as we mentioned earlier, America's been running lean and mean. So they've cut the fat out, if you want to say that. So they've shaved everything that was an expense to try to get the profits as best as they could. What we've seen from that is the S&P 500 have great dividend earnings. 410 companies are currently paying dividends, and that's the most in 15 years. In the first 5 months of 2013, 204 of the companies have increased their dividends, and the dividend payments rose 20% over the past year. So companies aren't going to do that unless they're feeling good. They're not going to share their revenues if they're not making money and there's not something there to share. So that's all good signs. And dividend-paying stocks is the bread and butter of a good portfolio, if you ask me, because we all know market's going to do one of three things, right? It's either going to go up, it's going to go down, or it's going to go sideways. We just don't know which is going to happen. Okay. Well, at least if you're getting dividends, you're winning in some way, shape, or form. You're getting paid to own that company.
Sean, I got a question for you. I mean, certainly when you say, and not to say that you created this, but Great Recession, right? The two words put together just don't sound all that good to me. There's not much great about the recession. However, you know, are you really saying that we're freshly out of this thing? Does that mean that now that we've kind of begun to shed ourselves of some of these problems that we've been going through, that maybe now we're going to run? And that run is an appreciating run for a lot of investors.
So yes and no. I think if you look at it, if you're looking at compared to a, you know, a baseball game, we're probably in the ninth inning of this thing. And the reason why we're saying that is you're listening to the Fed saying we're going to slow down our bond buying. We're going to get out of the way because the economy is starting.
I mean,
to
that
work.
Could be interpreted a couple ways, right? I mean, the Fed's come out and say we're going to stop buying so much of this because analysts that we have in the back offices that we pay billions of dollars have come up with this analysis saying it's looking good right now. Maybe we don't have to spend our money that way, which I would think says a lot to the investors like you and I out here on the front lines and trying to make decisions for our families about where the economy is going and where the stocks are going.
And that's correct. But ultimately, if they're getting out of the way, they're saying that this thing can sustain itself. And that's what we ultimately want. We don't want to keep having to have support from the Fed. What we're saying is that companies are able to sustain themselves. They've trimmed the fat, as we've said. They're getting profits. We've worked our way through this. That doesn't mean there's not more, you know, volatility. There can be more headwind, but we're definitely at the end of it. Versus some other countries, if you're looking in Europe, they may be in that third, fourth inning.
Still very volatile.
Still very volatile, yes. But there's always opportunities in volatile markets as well.
I can see that. So this is perhaps evidence that I think what you're saying is ninth inning. This, you view this as evidence that we're in that ninth inning with perhaps no overtime in sight.
Yeah, we would hope so. We've all had enough that we would like to just end the game and be on.
End the game as winners.
That's
right.
Yeah,
I think we all had enough of that Great Recession.
Right.
Right? We had our fill of that sucker.
That's right.
Let it be gone.
Well, this is one that's near and dear to our hearts. Interest rates are still low. Number five here. Now, we've had a hit of about 1%. And, of course, I'm talking about mortgage interest rates.
It's across the board.
Across the board. It's about 1%. And that is slowed a little bit, but historically, so every loan officer tells me, they are still very, very low.
Absolutely. It's interest rates are very low. Money's very cheap. You can borrow money very cheap. So with that being said, that allows for more opportunity for money to be pushed out to purchase, to consume.
Sure, I can speak on that matter. I used to be a loan officer. And, yeah, these interest rates are still really low. It doesn't mean that you couldn't have refinanced a few months ago or even a year ago and gotten 3.5 per se. But, you know, as interest rates go up, I would imagine the loan officers of the world that are doing all this refinance market, they realize there's not going to be so much of this refinancing anymore, because why would you refinance out of a low rate into a higher rate unless you absolutely had to? And the banks are doing these make sense deals in some cases. I'm not here to say that the underwriting guidelines haven't changed so much that they're just giving money like away like they used to. But I would say that the fact that interest rates have come up have had an effect on the real estate market.
I would agree with that. I mean, that's your area of expertise, but from those that I've talked to, it's had a little bit of a slowdown when the interest rates went up. Is that what you guys have seen?
Of course. Absolutely. Slowdown. Interest rates came up. Also, going back to school, they all kind of hit the same time. Again, I mentioned before, football is coming to season, Christmas, Thanksgiving, daylight savings time are all going to work to slow the market down as we get into the holidays, as they do every year at this time. Now, San Diego, there's not going to be 8 feet of snow on the ground, so we're not –
However, when the rest of the country freezes, we don't get so many of the relocating buyers, right? I mean, if there are no homes selling in Milwaukee and that guy wanted to move to San Diego, I don't blame him.
He's not moving.
But he might not be moving because his house didn't sell because it's frozen out there. But people do buy real estate. People are still buying real estate in Milwaukee and they're still moving in this area, maybe not as much as they do in the summer. There is a season associated with it. That's really all we're seeing.
Right. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the expansion of the housing. That creates confidence in people. Oh, my house is now worth more. I can spend a little bit. They're not as nervous. So some of these things can help the economy. But with the rising interest rates, what we're talking about is they're still low relative. If you look over, mm-hmm. if you look over a history, they're definitely low. I mean, you guys being in the business, I've talked to people that their interest rate on their home was 13% in the '80s. We're not paying that.
Well, let's think about that for a second. Someone says my interest rates were 13%. Doesn't that mean that it might be 13% sometime in the future? And I don't know about you guys, but that kind of scares me a little bit.
I mean, there's no telling the future. One would hope that we wouldn't go that route and have hyperinflation. But that being said, that also means that, again, opportunity today, because there is a what if out there.
Looking at history, right? Looking at history, we've got recessions maybe every 8 to 10 years. You know, if we're really out of this great recession now, or like you said, we're in the ninth inning, perhaps we've got a safe zone ahead.
Yeah, I would say that as far as your interest rates, what you're talking about is that they are still low, so we have some time to borrow. And as far as the stock market's overall value, I would expect there to be a pullback, to be honest, at some point. We're due for a pullback, but we just don't know when. However, we still feel there's upward mobility. So I'm not focusing on the short term. I'm not talking in a month from now, 3 months. We always want to look down line. Where are we a year, 3 years, 5 years now? That's what we're really talking about as far as our investing. And we feel that there's more opportunity for up than there is down at this point.
This is interesting, this article that says the Fed indicated plans to keep short-term interest rates low until the unemployment rate falls below 6.5%, which they predict to happen in 2015.
That's right.
Let's... 2 years, year and a half, I guess. And low is kind of a relative term, I suspect. So maybe now's the time.
Well, what we're really talking about when they say low is the short-term interest rate right now is at 0.25. We do not expect that to be raised. The Fed to actually raise the interest rate and say we are going to raise this by 0.25% to 0.5, whatever it might be, until that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that the Fed is a little bit, I guess, more open book than they used to be. So we can really kind of see what's going on, which actually is beneficial for the market. The market does not like to see a lot of gray. So when they're being open, that helps things.
It helps. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Sean Manat, financial planner, Edward Jones. His phone number, 619-497-0019, 619-497-0019. Talking about, well, seven reasons for optimism. And real quickly, let's hit this one. Consumer confidence is still below average, which I imagine means it has room to improve.
That's right. You know, Warren Buffett always says, be greedy when others are fearful, fearful when others are greedy. So right now, people, there's still fear out there. So there is room to make money, as we say. Now, it's not as bad as it has been. It was worse. Again, we're in that ninth inning, like I talked about, so it's coming out. But we still feel there's room for improvement. And historically, when that consumer confidence is low, the stock market has performed well.
I see. Room for improvement is an important strategy, isn't it?
That's right.
Awesome. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris McCurgy, and he's going to give us, well, even more. I get a list of 10 here. Even more reasons we should all have a trust ahead of us when we come back.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174, or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Five Star Escrow, the service you deserve when you need it most at closing. Five Star Escrow, fast, friendly, and accurate. Why would you settle for less? FiveStarEscrow.com. That's FiveStarEscrow.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them, as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Golic, we're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was enjoying one of these new Marie Callender's sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches.
Where'd you get that?
And this cheddar biscuit.
So there was just one?
So warm and flaky.
You ate mine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, Marie is giving away 1 million sandwiches for free. Just look for a coupon and select Marie Callender's dinners.
No purchase necessary. Offer ends January 7th, 2014. See official rules to win at MarieCallendersMeals.com/1,000,000. Sponsored by Conagra Foods.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
So happy it's Thursday. Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Sean Manette, financial planner Edward Jones. His number 619-497-0019. We talked about five of his seven reasons for optimism. There's probably more. But
there's
he has seven
more
on the list. We only got time for five. Again, one more time, 619-497-0019. As promised, top 10 reasons you need to trust. We talked about a few of these, but you're going to kind of go back and reiterate on a couple points that we hit. This is Chris McCurgy, estate planning attorney. His website, kmsdlawoffice.com. That's the website, kmsdlawoffice.com. So what are my reasons?
Well, you know, we talked about some of them already, such as the main one being the probate process and saving money. But one of the the one of the reasons that I suggest people getting a trust, and a lot of people don't think about it, is your trust can actually act as a prenuptial agreement. If you're thinking about getting married, and this is like, you know, you've been dating.
I'm listening.
For, you know, yeah. You've been dating a man for a while, dating a woman for a while. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what you can do is you can create a trust and transfer your assets into the trust, you know, well before you get married. So it's not anything that you're doing in a fraudulent manner by any means. And whatever assets you put into your trust is essentially basically your separate property. And if by some means there was a dissolution in the marriage later on, those assets stay in your trust and they remain your separate property.
Interesting. So prenup without having to have him or her sign anything.
Exactly. And this, again, it's, you know, you're not
sneaky.
Doing it. You're not. Well, here's the thing. You're not doing it for fraudulent
Smart.
Purposes. You're not doing this, you know, the day before your wedding. This is something, you know, if you know in the future you're going to get married, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 months down the line, a year down from the line, you know, you create a trust and ensure that you put your separate property assets within the trust to protect them so they remain your separate property assets. And as long as you don't, you know, give your spouse access to that trust, you know, by making them a part of that trust, you're fine. That remains your separate property.
Right. You don't want to commingle things because then it becomes questionable.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, and that's one of the ways, you know, a trust is beneficial because it can act as a, you know, prenuptial agreement. However, you know, like I said, you have to be very careful that you're not doing it for fraudulent terms. This is not something you're creating the night before your wedding.
Right.
So let's just say, for example, I'm getting ready to get married. I've got a property that's in my sole and separate name. Maybe it's in my trust. And I want to refinance this. And I'm thinking, hey, you know, with the new tight guidelines, I could use my wife's income. But in order to do that, the bank's going to want to see her on the title. And now she's on the loan. Now I've commingled things. Now it's her property as well.
Exactly. You're crossing that line right there, right?
Do you advise your clients when it comes to questions like that?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I also work on is prenuptial agreements. Generally, when you work on a prenuptial agreement, you're working with another attorney. You know, usually if I have a couple come to me, I tell them I can only advise one person. The other person has to get an independent counsel. And in that situation, we hash details out. You know, the other person is represented by independent counsel. I represent my client, and we work the details out as far as that goes.
Now, Chris, you had mentioned one of your friends was the guy who is going to make the decision if you pass away in your trust. Tell me what that's like. I mean, that must have been a heavy decision.
Well, it was. And actually, I assigned him as the person who would make the decision to pull me off the plug.
Why?
Well, you want to have somebody to make that decision, you know. And I decided that I didn't want my wife to have to make that decision, and it was a personal decision. I don't want to have her go through the burden of telling the doctor take him off the plug. So I you know, chose my best friend. I told him, hey, look, you'll be that person if time ever came down to it, and I'm brain dead, and the doctor says, what do you want to do? This is the decision you're going to make. That was a personal choice, and I'm happy I made that choice.
So your wife doesn't have to go through that burden, if you will.
Yeah. You know, I've known my best friend for years, and it'll be a tough decision for him. But I, you know, I also know the impact it would have on my wife.
Yeah,
and,
imagine.
I wanted to avoid that.
Right. So once you put that in place, you got your trust in place, what does that feel like?
It's comforting. It's comforting to know that things are taken care of. And I know we were talking about the break about the skydiving example where, you know, a friend of mine asked me to go skydiving. And
yeah, I want to ask Ryan to go skydiving after the show.
You know, it's funny because a year ago, if somebody asked me to go skydiving, I would have said, heck yes, let's do it. Let's go. But now you're married, you know, you're thinking about having kids. And the first thing that came to my mind when this person asked me to go skydiving was, did I change the beneficiary designation on my life insurance policy to make sure my wife was a beneficiary? What if something happens to me?
You're the million-dollar man, right?
That's the question. What happens now? You know, so now you're thinking about somebody else, not just yourself. And that's the thing about a trust. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I can do the trust later. I can do it now. Well, we never know when we're going to die, right? Some people do based on the illnesses. What a trust does is gives you that sense of security to know that if something were to happen to you, that your loved ones are taken care of.
Do you love your wife?
Absolutely.
You better say that.
Heck,
she might listening. Be listening.
She might be listening. Exactly.
So did you go skydiving?
I did not go skydiving.
All
I
right,
did chicken out. I just made a calculated decision not to go.
Otherwise, I was chickening out.
Did not.
Did you check with her? She said no.
I shouldn't even ask her yet.
Good. Safe. It's safe. It's safe. All right. So you went through the process of really making a decision that benefited you, and you feel better now. About
absolutely.
It.
You know, and it, you know that when all is said and done, your loved ones are taken care of. And, you know, an interesting thing I'll even bring up is there was a point when my dad hadn't created his trust. And my dad actually has significant assets, you know. And it was – the worry wasn't, well, what's going to happen to his assets when he passes away from me. It was what's going to happen if he's incapable of making certain medical healthcare decisions. Will I be able to help him out in that process? Will the doctors allow me to get involved in that process?
You know, it's interesting you should say that because it really brings the comfort down for me. Like, I mean, for example, I pass away. I might not care what happens to the assets that I've acquired. I'm gone, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm not gone and I'm not able to make those decisions, I might really care.
You do care, and that's the thing. And you want to make sure that the decisions you would make now are the same decisions you want your representative to make when you're incapacitated and unable to make those decisions. That's the advantage of having something like that in place, because you know that if you're incapacitated, that your wishes are followed through by advanced directives, by your, you know, healthcare, your power of attorney, and your HIPAA authorization. Those are taken care of through that whole process because of that. The last thing you want is somebody making decisions on your behalf who you did not assign to make decisions and making the wrong decisions.
It always surprised me, Chris, when I'm looking at a title of a property and I see that it's not held in a trust. I got to tell you, we look at them a dozen
all the time.
And does it strike you as odd when someone doesn't have their property in a trust?
It does seem unusual nowadays to find a property held as a sole individual or under the names of actual people nowadays, whether it be a trust or an LLC. It seems unusual nowadays.
Do we know what the percentage is?
I don't know the percentage, but, you know, I'm hoping it changes because I've seen that too, you know, and it always makes me – I'm always happy when somebody comes to me and they want to put their property in trust. They want to fund the trust, which is important to do that. Because of the reason, again, you want to make sure that that property is within the trust so that it's protected and it passes on to your heirs once you pass away.
You review trusts. Why do you do that?
It's a personal decision. Like I was saying earlier, was one of the toughest conversations that anybody can have is, you know, as a son asking your parents if they have a trust, right? That being because you're essentially asking them if they have prepared for the end of their life, right? And it's a tough situation, it's a tough conversation. And I think, you know, not having a trust in place is it's difficult.
Maybe it's uneducated.
It is. You're right, because a lot of people don't know about it. But the most important thing is, you know, my job is I want to educate the people so they understand why they have it in place and why they should have it in place. And it's to be selfless. It's to make sure that when they move on, the loved ones are taken care of.
Well, there's also mistakes that can be made. And what I mean by this is that people did a lot of refinancing. And in order to do that, the banks want to see the properties are taken out of a trust and they loan to an individual. Do you see what I see? You see where I'm going here?
I absolutely do. But here's the funny thing.
People don't put them back in the trust.
They don't put them back in the trust. But the thing is, there's more often than not, banks are getting smarter. They understand that if you are Ryan White, you're the same person as Ryan White, trustee of the Ryan White Trust. They understand that some banks are getting smarter to understand that. So they don't necessarily want you to pull it out of your trust to refinance as an individual to put it back in your trust. Now, that being said, there are a lot more banks out there that do require that, which I laugh at because it's basically a waste of time and waste of money.
There is a way to refinance and keep the property in a trust.
And some banks are getting smarter at that. I think if you go to the bigger banks, I can't name any of them, but if you go to the bigger banks, they probably do understand that. But more often than not, banks require
you to – It's kind of ridiculous, right? It's like taking insurance off of something for a few days while you put a new thing in place and then re-putting the insurance.
Literally what it is. You're taking it out of a trust to get a refinance to put it back in the trust, or taking out your LLC to, you know, eventually put it back in the LLC. And that makes no sense to me.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Chris McKergy from estate planning attorney KMSDlawoffice.com. If you guys want to check it out, paintball buddy of Ryan's.
Yeah, one more time, KMSDlawoffice.com. Chris McCurgy, estate planning attorney, yes, one of my paintball buddies. I enjoyed shooting him in the past.
Couple of times.
I'm sure, a couple times.
It hurt.
Talked about every aspect you may want to know and some you don't about a trust, how to avoid probate, and we went through the 10 reasons why you need a trust. Some really good information there. One more time, the website, KMSDlawoffice.com. We also heard from Sean Manette, financial planner, Edward Jones, talked about his 7 reasons to be optimistic. We really only got through 5 of them. There are 2 out there, and I'm sure many more. Over time, Sean Manette, financial planner, 619-497-0019. One more time, 619-497-0019. Coming up next, it's Tim Stromble with Sports Court.